Churches that make a real difference are churches that last. Are you ready for the long haul? Welcome to Endure Podcast with Alan and Trent.
Welcome back to the Enduring Churches Podcast. I'm Alan. I'm here with my good friend Trent today. And Trent, we're going to confuse people a lot today because we're going to talk about something that sounds an awful lot like you.
Like me. Well, yes, we're going to talk about some trends and some things that we see that are coming maybe in the future. And especially for smaller churches today, we want to get some, give you some things that we see. Now, we're not prophets in this area. It's just things that we're seeing. But Alan, I think that some of these things are hopeful. Some of them we need to just be aware of, right?
Yes. And, you know, a lot of these, I think, you know, if you're in a more urban setting, you've already seen most of these. But you and I, kind of where we're at, you know, sometimes in small towns, we're on the cutting edge, but sometimes we're kind of on the back end. And I think a lot of these are trends that have already happened in a lot of places, but now they're reaching into a place that we've not seen before. And that's in our smaller and in our rural churches. And so we're not researchers, but we certainly feel and see these things as they go on.
That's true. And the point of all this today is not to make you afraid, but to encourage you to be prepared and to be thinking through, you know, how does your church deal with some of these areas? There's all kinds of help out there and organizations and groups that can help you with some of these as well. So we just want you to think, to be prepared, be like a Boy Scout, be prepared, man.
And we just want you to know, if you don't know where to turn, we'd love you to turn to Trent and I and our Enduring Churches Consulting. We would love to come alongside your church and help you maneuver the current landscape in which your church lives. So let's get rolling, Trent, because these are some great topics today, some great points to talk about. So what do you say we get rolling here?
Let's do it. Number one, the first thing that we've written down is that we see that there is the diminishing ability to hire additional staff. And that may seem like, well, duh, you know, but they're especially rural churches. And we recognize that churches are declining overall across our nation. But especially in rural areas, that may mean that your church no longer can afford to have a full-time pastor and a full-time youth minister and a full-time secretary, all those kinds of things.
You know, and that wasn't the case. And when you and I were in college together, there were all these small little towns around us that had churches of 100 people or something like that. And they had a pastor, a worship pastor, a youth pastor, a full-time secretary. And you look at them, wow, how do they make all that work? Well, maybe it's because the pastor was, barely making enough money to buy a Subway token. But,
yeah,
you know, there just wasn't. I mean, it's just the dynamic has changed, and it's getting harder to find the people because the population base continues to leave our smaller towns. You know, the education, if you want your pastor to stick around, you're going to have to pay him more. And I think some churches have recognized we'd rather keep a good one and then let him get away. And so to do that, we're going to have to pay a little more, which means we can't pay two.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned about keeping your pastor, and that's part of what we do here at Enduring Churches is to try to encourage you to make things last, to endure, for your church to endure, but also the relationship with your pastor or any staff that you have to endure. And that may mean that you've got to do some creative things, right? I know that our church, instead of doing maybe an increase in salary, we do another perk, some more vacation time or a gas allowance or something like that. So you got to have, if you're going to make this thing continue, you're going to have to look in other creative ways.
And you certainly want to pay attention to what's going on with the IRS codes and all those kinds of things with that as well. But, you know, you and I also have a heart for bivocational pastors, and there's a whole lot of them out there. And they certainly understand the reality of trying to wear the hat of pastor as well as another hat in the workforce. And so we certainly salute you guys. You have felt this a lot longer than others. And we appreciate the work that you do.
Well, another thing to keep in mind with this, Alan, is to don't dismiss the opportunity to to use volunteers. I know that it's a struggle, and I know that it's hard to get people to volunteer. People don't hear, this has been my experience, Alan. You tell me if this is the case for you, but people don't respond to a bulletin announcement about us needing a volunteer or a sign, a flyer on the wall. It's personal. The personal ask makes the difference. If you see somebody who's gifted, you do that personal ask.
And I believe, you know, if we go back to one of our early podcasts, we were talking about recruiting and training volunteers and trying to hold on to them. And we certainly, I think the volunteer method, and, you know, you don't have to hire someone too. If it's a position you feel it deserves a little, financial incentive behind it, then do it kind of like a stipend or something like that. But there's certainly ways to get creative. But it's not just in staffing. There's also struggles with some of the technical stuff, like music, especially in our smaller churches today. Trent, you have a little bit of a musical background, and of course, our wives are both very musically talented. But you find that to be a struggle in churches that you know of today?
Yeah, Alan, in our area, I've talked to pastors all the time that they're struggling to have somebody to lead the music that can play an instrument, or somebody who can play a piano. And so with that in mind, you may have to look in some different areas. And man, it is a struggle. You need to have somebody to be able to play an instrument, to be able to lead your folks. I've seen people try to follow along with canned music, and boy, they really don't like it. And so, that's part of our culture too, right, Alan, is less and less, or fewer and fewer people are learning to play piano. They're more playing guitar these days, and so that may be an option.
Yeah, and, you know, we are kind of a guitar-driven church, but in our setting. But even at that, you know, the people who are learning to play guitar, it's because someone in our church is teaching them. And so, you know, people are learning to play really any instruments. Schools don't have as vibrant of music programs necessarily as they used to have. Other parts of our culture, it's not a big element to learn those things. And so finding people with a musical background is challenging, but then also training them to be a worship leader is tough, because you can have great musicians who don't have a heart for worship. And then you struggle with maybe what we would maybe see as a kind of maybe a diva mentality, that they're there as long as they can do music, but they won't do anything else within the church.
Yeah, I recently put together some information. People were asking about being part of the praise team in our church, and I don't lead the praise team. Our youth minister, youth and music guy does. But just putting the information about, and when you mentioned the word diva, that the being a part of the praise team is not to be seen, but it's to help other people worship. And then it comes with commitment too, of always being there on time to practice. And we have a belief that you don't perform, or you don't get to be on the stage to lead worship if you don't practice. And so that's, you know, things like that you've got to talk through.
We have a similar thing at our church, but I remember a few years ago, we made a commitment that if you're on our worship team, you need to be in a small group. And I had two worship team people leave our church because we put some accountability on them. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, if people aren't going to be accountable for spiritual growth, we really don't need them in front of people to begin with. And music's just a real struggle. And so looking for creative ways to deal with that and praying for people who can help with that is big. Networking with places where maybe there are extra musicians can be a big help.
Yeah, partnership, like you said, the networking and a partnership with another church that can help, you know, send somebody for a few weeks or whatever, that helps. Well, the next thing we want to talk about is our Sunday schedule, the traditional Sunday schedule, maybe a Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Years ago when we were what kids, there was the training union, right? And then Wednesday night. And I know that a lot of churches are having to do completely different schedules.
Yeah, one of the things that we're seeing is that Sunday nights are just pretty much going away in almost every part of our culture. But the places I see it holding on the most are in our smaller communities. And I can understand that because, you know, if, you know, let's take a farming community, people are putting in, you know, 60 hours a week of work. And, you know, you enjoy that day where you get to be around other people and be with other people and fellowship with people. But that also, I'll speak of it as a pastor, Sunday night just takes an enormous toll on a pastor.
Yeah, that's true. We do not do a Sunday night service anymore. We do Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but we don't do Sunday nights. And I know that there's some older congregation that they love Sunday nights. And if that's you, then that's great. But I guess just consider the culture when you think about that too.
You know, I mean, look around. I mean, I don't know of any church right now that their Sunday night service, if it's a different service from the morning service, is highly attended. The people who go may enjoy it, but they may turn around and realize that it's 1/10, maybe a quarter of who would come on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And you're asking your pastor to put basically the same amount of work and effort and energy to come back and be discouraged and disappointed on Sunday night. And the reality is that families are struggling to find time together. And we know from a research base that Sunday night is the time that families are most likely to spend together. And so maybe part of it is finding ways to encourage families to spend that time together.
Yeah, to continue to have that time blocked off, but not necessarily for church on Sunday evenings, but to, hey, gather your whole family, do that family meal, and or sit around and play games, teach your kids some games, tell them the stories of, you know, your family, and watch a favorite movie together, and just spend time together and develop those memories and relationships.
I think one of the other things with the time, too, is that people are starting to consider, why do we have the church time at the same time we do? Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot more, you know, it used to be that you knew when every other church was in. When I remember when I was younger, it was 11 o'clock. Every church met at 11 o'clock, and then it was a race to get to the restaurants for Sunday lunch and all those kinds of things. I think churches are much willing to try a lot more with their time schedule as well to find when is the best time to reach the most people.
Right. Well, and that kind of leads us to the next idea of the midweek schedule and the activities that are Wednesdays typically. And as you and I were talking about this, Alan, we recognize that different areas, different cultures will hit this differently based on school schedules specifically. So what are your thoughts?
Well, and you're in a place where there's still a little bit of friendliness toward church schedules with school events and things like that. Whereas I'm in a place where churches are the absolute last thought that comes into anyone's mind when they put a schedule together. And so, you know, there is not one night of the week where we don't have sports activities. We have that every single day of the week. We have all our club stuffs on Sundays. And so, you know, we, as a sports-driven culture, we have a lot of hard times putting things together. And so we are very, very, very minimalistic during the week. We have a few activities, and they're usually short-lived. We have a couple home groups that meet through the week. But by and large, we do our kids and student stuff on Sunday night. That's our particular schedule for our community. But I know in other places, they're still getting a great success out of doing some things together on Wednesday night, but it doesn't look like it used to look.
Well, that would be our case, Alan. We, you know, Wednesday nights are for us as big as Sunday mornings. And so we have a lot of our youth specifically and our children's programming on Wednesday night. But one of the things, as we're talking about this, I know that we have to be flexible. I know that, you know, most folks are like, hey, you want to keep your schedule? I think we have to be flexible. I know when talking with Kelly, our youth minister, he has to be flexible depending on the sports season that he's in, because during football season, he's not going to have a whole lot of kids there before 6:30 or 7. And so he moves his stuff intentionally a little bit later so that those kids coming from football practice and cheerleader practice can get there, still have a meal, still have be part of the Bible study and stuff. So I think that's a key word for, as we talk about all this, are you willing to be flexible in order to share the gospel with people?
Yes, and I think that you just can't be married to anything. Maybe Tuesday night's your best night, or maybe Thursday night's your best night, or maybe your community is just such that they're dying for something for Friday nights, you know, that you have something that you can offer on some Friday nights. And what we're advocating, and the trend that we're seeing is that there don't look at someone else's normative. There is no normative when it comes to time and schedules and things like that. And there was nothing ever mandated that it had to be at a certain time or on a certain, that everything had to take place on a certain day. And so give yourself a little freedom to try and to experiment and to not be married to such a strict schedule.
Right. And again, the goal is to be able to reach people, and it's not just to have the lights on in your building and using up resources that God's given to you. You want to be able to have folks there. You want to be able to reach them where they're at, and share with them, you know, how to come to know Christ, how to worship. And so that, I think that's important. You're right. There's no such thing as a normal anymore.
And that kind of falls in, I mentioned it earlier, but the changing worship times. And the reason I brought that up, Trent, is one of the things I've seen with some churches is they didn't want to give up Sunday night. Mm-hmm. But what they chose to do was make it a repeat of their Sunday morning service for people who are in town that do work. You know, even in a small town, you've got that cafe or people who are working on Sunday mornings, and they don't have an opportunity to go to a traditional service. And so I think there's more and more churches that are willing to say, you know what, we're going to have a Sunday evening service. And I see that is a positive way to reach people. Or churches moving to an afternoon service because they're sharing a pastor with another church. And so they do their service time at a different time of day. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that.
No, you know, we talked in one of our previous episodes about circuit riding preachers, you know, churches sharing pastors. And if that's the case, then, you know, you just got to work with it. Go with the flow and try to find a place that pastor can be there and reach out to the people in the area. I know there's a group of ladies at one of the convenience stores that I talk with every Sunday morning as I go get my breakfast on the way to church and ask them what I can pray for them about. And, you know, they're all working on Sunday mornings. And so hopefully, you know, they'll come to Wednesday night or whenever that we have a service and can invite them to be a part of it.
But I think the points for us is to remember that there's a part of your population, even in small towns, that we're missing because we've always thought that everyone needs to adjust to us instead of us adjusting to that lost world and finding opportunities to get out there to them. And so, again, just recognize you're going to see more and more, I think, flexibility even in those worship times.
So the next thing, Alan, that we have on our list, and we've kind of hit on this a little bit, but is the changing nature of children and youth. What are your thoughts about that? What do you see happening for churches in that area?
Well, let me kind of flip it back to you just for a second with that question, Trent. When you and I were going through youth groups in the 1980s, decades ago,
we were old.
What was the biggest, most visible ministry in most every church?
It was youth ministry. That was the big deal.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was the era of youth ministry, and it just was the most, seemed to be the most vibrant thing. And every church wanted to have a great youth ministry. You fast forward that another 20 years, and what is it that everyone's talking that they want to have? What's the most important ministry in our church?
Well, I've seen it turn and move backwards to children's ministry. That is the big area with lots of focus right now.
And so, you know, you've got this dynamic where people are recognizing that we need to get really active in our children, but we still love our youth. And then we hear the statistics that a lot of youth are dropping out of church, and we want to know how we stop that and trying to figure out what we do. And I think one of the things that's happening is that I think churches are trying to find a way to make this more holistic, that we have a process of engaging people from the time they are a child into the time of being a student, and then preparing them to launch out on their own. And so I think that one of the things that we're seeing is kind of a diminishing distinguishment between children and youth ministry. And I think they're kind of morphing into one. And a lot of places are maybe calling that family ministry or something like that. But I see that there's kind of a move away from having those as different ministries of the church and trying to bring them more under one focus and one umbrella.
Well, you mentioned the word family ministry, and I think that is a key as you think about this, because there's frustration. Yeah, we're doing this big deal for youth, but we never see their parents. We're doing this big thing for children, but we never see the whole family. And so I think churches are going to have a more holistic mindset to where they do things that the entire family can be involved in. I will tell you this, parents are frustrated trying to figure out how to get their kids to be involved with them, because they're involved in gaming and they're involved in, on their phones, on their games all the time. And they're struggling to find a way to have their youth and their children interact with them. And so this is a great place for the church to come alongside them.
And, you know, I would like to tell you that I can give you a ton of resources and a ton of wisdom and all kinds of stuff with this. But this is an area that I think is so early and is still growing and still trying to find its way through that I don't even know the right places to send you. I've actually reached out and looked for some stuff. Our church was looking into trying to maybe even move our staffing roles around to consider something that would take more of a family ministry approach, and really struggle to find the kind of resources we want. But this is one of those ones where I kind of think maybe you and I, as we talk about it, we are a little bit on the front end here. And so know that this is coming.
True. But, you know, as we talk about this, Alan, I guess I want to say, hey, don't be worried about this. Yeah, it is a challenge, but this is not a surprise to God. And so he has the plans. This is a great place to be an innovator and a great place to be a prayer warrior to find out what God has as we look forward to the future.
Yeah, I mean, we do want to touch the next generation, especially as we are figuring out what this next generation looks like. And they're just in the early processes of moving toward college age now. And so it'll be an exciting generation for our nation. Well, we've kind of got one more, Trent, and, you know, I would call out of the two of us, I would say you're far more the techie than I am. And I think both of us, I think our best technical days might be behind us. But I think there's a lot of struggles today in our smaller churches of wanting to be technologically advanced, but not knowing how to or where to turn or anything like that. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. And yes, I'm noticing that my best days are behind me, and it's hard to keep up. But there, as you think about it, especially from a church standpoint, there is a ton of technology and opportunities, things, tools to use in your church that are available and that are inexpensive. Everything from sound and lighting, streaming videos of your services, whatever. There's a ton of these possibilities. But how do you find somebody in your church that can do those? And so this is an area where if you will be open to involving children and youth in serving, you will be covered. You'll have a great opportunity and a good team to help your church.
And if you can't find some, there are plenty of resources out there. And I think they get a little bit more reasonable all the time. To source some of those things and to find other places and avenues to get help, whether that's someone to help manage your website or someone to do some video for some of your services or things like that. There's a lot more places to turn today, and I'm grateful for all those people. You know, I mean, we were going to, our plans in starting this podcast, you know, we had a couple of tin cans and a long rope. And so, you know, we've already come a long way since then.
Yeah. Hey, and we learned how to run it, which is pretty amazing.
And hopefully we're getting better at it. I certainly hope so.
Yeah. So today, as we've talked through these seven areas that we want you to be aware of, again, it is not to make you afraid, but to get you to think and think long term, so that your church can endure, your staff can endure, how whatever that looks like. And again, we want to invite you to contact us at enduringchurches.com. If you have questions, go to our Facebook page as well. We want to interact with you and be in a conversation with you. So please contact us so we can be involved.
We appreciate your time and the fact that you have chosen to spend time with us. Make sure to share your email with us so we can keep you informed about future episodes.